This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hulu and YouTube, they pay NBC Sportsnet and they'll pay Marquee Sportsnet the same fee that the cable guys do. And it's just, it really what it addresses is the consumer who says, I want to so-called cut the cord. I don't want to have a cable subscription. I can live without it because if I have my Amazon and my Apple TV, I don't need to have, you know, all the rest of it. It's just a different way of getting to them.
It's all going to change. It's all going to change very, very quickly. And if you're a Cub fan, you're going to have to start figuring some things out if you want to keep watching your team. This is the way of the world. Here to talk about that, the Cubs plans and more, is Eric Fisher of Sports Business Journal. He is on Twitter at EricFisherSBJ, and he joins Bernstein and McKnight now. Hello, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Wonderful. So I guess the biggest question we've got right now as they're starting to form this Marquee Sports Network is, will more Cubs fans be able to watch Cubs baseball, and how will that network jive with MLB's blackout restrictions and requirements that make you have to get different services and pay more if you want to watch Cubs baseball or any team in a market you're blacked out in?
Well, a lot is still yet too early to be determined, but the general thinking is that the Cubs and Sinclair, by sort of operating on their own, they're going to be able to get, particularly in some of these outer markets, Iowa, parts of Iowa, central Indiana and the like, that they're going to because it's going to be a Cubs-specific network, that they're going to be able to get some distribution, particularly in these outer areas that perhaps Comcast couldn't when it was a multi-sport network.
So how is that folded into the MLB blackout rules? We were hearing from some people in Iowa, and I guess this has been an ongoing thing, that because Iowa doesn't have a team, they end up being told they actually have six teams they're not allowed to see because of overlapping boundaries considered quote-unquote local.
Well, the biggest issue in this blackout map is that you've got, as you correctly indicate, a number of areas that have been jointly claimed by multiple teams, in some situations as many as five or six teams, but they're actually not coming in with a linear product in that market to serve those local fans. And again, the thinking is if Sinclair and the Cubs are successful here with Marquee, that in some of these areas they're actually going to come in with an actual product that could serve some of those areas.
What, in your mind, Eric, is the most important thing for a network like Marquee Sports Network to position themselves for in the future? You know, they'll get the nuts and bolts set up. They'll get themselves onto cable networks and whatnot. But the way we watch baseball, sports in general, is changing so rapidly. What's the most important next piece?
Well, the first thing is to get themselves broadly distributed. If you look at a lot of the other baseball-led team-led RSNs in recent time, going all the way back to the YES Network in 2002, but much more recently, Sportsnet LA and with the Dodgers, the former CSN Houston with the Astros, they all had some real distribution carriage issues coming out of the gate, that they had a big number that they were asking for. There were a number of providers that were balking and were not going to take on this channel. And it's going to be a real interesting thing to see as to whether the Cubs and Sinclair can get around this and have a situation where they're ostensibly fully distributed in the Chicago area, if not some of these other outer areas that we've discussed, at launch time. And we just don't know yet. And those negotiations are going to happen over the next year. But it's going to be very – the first thing is that they've got to get themselves fully distributed, and then they can start really working on some of these other emerging areas.
We're speculating on what else it's going to be programmed on this, and the fact that Crane Kenny they're not branding it as Cubs this or Cubs that. It is Marquee Sportsnet that will allow them to diversify their programming portfolio. And when you add up 162 regular season games plus extended pregame and postgame, you're still left with 94% of a year's broadcast schedule to fill. Is this going to be partnering with an RSN that that maybe Sinclair buys some of these available Fox stations and just gives them chunks of programming? Or is this going to be piecemeal deals with smaller collegiate conferences or coaches' shows or kinds of things?
I think it's going to be more the latter. I think it's going to be a piecemeal sort of thing. Certainly, you can't expect to see any sort of top-tier NBA, NHL franchise to serve as a winner anchor like the YES Network has with the Nets, or then some of the Nesson has with the Bruins and so forth. You're just not going to see something of that kind of scale, but you can certainly expect to see some other smaller properties that may fold into this thing. But also there's going to be just a ton of Cubs stuff that they talk to the team folks and Crane Kenny and the like, and it's just the Cubs business is really year-round that they think that you get into hot stove discussion, you get into Cubs convention coverage, you get into spring training previews and the like, that bridge from November to February is not quite so bad. And then you're starting to talk about spring training games and the like, that the hole in that programming hole during the winter is perhaps not as big as it might have been in prior years.
Do you get the sense, Eric, that the Cubs, the Marquee Sports Network, is going to get help from MLB as it pertains to their digital platforms, apps and streaming services and whatnot? Like, MLB AM is huge with tons of programmers and arms everywhere. Do they get to list some of those programmers? Or are they going to have to find their own digital strength?
No, they'll have all sort of the rights and resources that the other 29 teams have. They're basically just moving their local TV rights from the prior provider to this one that they're now creating. Their ability to interrelate with league resources really doesn't change. What it'll be very interesting to see if they strike their own in-market streaming deal, and that perhaps maybe what you're getting at, mm-hmm. that the Comcast stations did a sort of bulk deal that covered multiple markets of the country beyond Chicago, including Chicago, but beyond it as well, where they were folded in for authenticated in-market streaming. The authenticated in-market streaming piece remains the preferred model for the league. It'll just now be on the Cubs and Sinclair to come back and strike their own deal along those lines independently. And we've got a situation where, 27 of the 30 teams are still lined up to be back with that again for 2019.
I know you mentioned that that's their preferred model. Is that the best model, though, for how we're consuming live sports, this authenticated streaming?
Right now, for them, given how the economics works, certainly,
but
100%. I do think in this structure and what they've done here with Sinclair, there is an eye towards the future. And if you talk to Sinclair execs and Crane Kenny and the like, that they certainly foresee a situation where you could have a direct-to-consumer offering, some sort of ESPN Plus type of situation where you don't have to work through Comcast or DirecTV or what have you to get Marquee, that you could actually just buy it digitally straight. That day is not here now, but that day could come down the road. And again, the partnership, as it's been described to me, is flexible enough to contemplate that. We're just not there yet.
Why? What's holding them back?
Again, you've got a situation where the money is really, and the audience and everything is still from the linear product. That's okay. Where the vast majority of the eyeballs are, and that's where the money is made. That's where the subscriptions come from in a much greater number. That's where the advertising comes in a much greater number. Again, we're seeing this digital migration, but where the money is actually really made, start to finish, it's still through the lens of linear TV.
How big a business footprint is this going to be? As far as, like, literally, how are they going to have their own building with their own studios? And how many producers, how many reporters, how many anchors? I'm just wondering what the comp would be. Is this going to be the same size as the Big Ten Network, as Comcast or NBC Sports Chicago? You know, what sort of business size?
Oh yeah, this would be very much a comparable type of operation. Sinclair's got a real estate division, as I understand it. They're already scouting out potential locations in Chicago to have this thing be headquartered. They'll have their own full staff, and again, using things like the YES Network in New York and Nesson in Boston and so forth as comps, you're looking at a full-on staff of executives and producers and on-air talent and so forth that easily can get into triple digits. This will be a full-on thing,
and I wonder about it because in Chicago, there's been a fairly small number of trusted directors. Like these people that sit in the truck, whether it's Jim Angio or Dave Turner, and the others, and it's because these have all been clustered within NBC Sports Chicago, there's going to be probably out of market people, I think. I mean, for some of these jobs, to direct a baseball broadcast, you apprentice for a long time to get good at some of these things. I can't imagine it's a large pool of talent to find people good enough.
There'd certainly be a mixture. I mean, I would imagine some folks who have been working in a number of these capacities for NBC Sports Chicago will come over, but not all. And then you have a situation like the Cubs, the opportunity to start up a new network with one of Major League Baseball's premier franchises, that's certainly going to be an attractive opportunity for talented people around the country. So I imagine you're going to have a mix of this sort of thing as this thing develops.
What pitfall do they have to avoid here?
Two of them. The carriage thing that I discussed before, that if you get us to a situation where you know, we get towards spring training of next year and you've got major distributors not wanting to carry this channel and they're only in X, you know, 40, 50, whatever the number is, percent of the Chicago market, that's going to be a big problem. And that's going to really hamstring them coming out of the gate. Number two is the over-the-air piece. Right now, there is no plan for local over-the-air games that somebody who does not subscribe to this network and just has a digital antenna or something of that sort, the only way to be able to see the Cubs is when they're on something like Fox on a national broadcast. So and this is a market, like a lot of other markets, that are used to at least some sort of regular diet of seeing their local team on free over-the-air television. That's going away, and there could be some real PR optics issues over the next year as that realization really comes in. I think, you know, they're not hiding that fact, but I'm not sure that's necessarily been fully understood by everybody yet, that, you know, the 40, 50 games a year that people have been accustomed to seeing on free television, that's going away. And so they're going to have to navigate that as well.
Eric, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Sure, always a pleasure.
That is Eric Fisher of Sports Business Journal.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.